Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Yo, what's going on this Worship Wednesday? It is The Odd Couple on Fox Sports Radio. Rob Parker, along with Rob G, Rob Guerra, our able-bodied producer, filling in for Chris Broussard.
Most backhanded compliment in sports radio history.
What, able-bodied?
Able-bodied. Yeah, he's capable of sitting in a chair and talking for 3 hours.
Hey, I could say worse, but I won't
You really
do that.
Could, actually. So I appreciate that, Rob.
Well, and let's say this. Don't forget, I do get to pick who I work with. All right?
Okay. In that case, right? Rob Parker, the greatest man to ever grace sports.
Okay, here we go. Let's not forget that. And so Rob G is sitting in. And again, we continue to send our prayers out to Chris and his family. Just taking care of some family business and matters. So, our thoughts are still with Chris, obviously.
Of course.
Rob G?
Absolutely. No, we can't wait to have him back.
No doubt about it. It is a Worship Wednesday, and Rob G, how are you today? I guess you got a home improvement thing going on at the crib, right?
Oh, yeah, man. My bathroom was literally falling apart. I'm talking about the cabinet door fell off the vanity. The tile, my daughter walked in, who's 2 years old, handed me a tile in the bedroom one day. I was like, you know what? We gotta do something about this. So I'm knee deep in a bathroom remodel right now, and things are... Rob, you know how it is. It's a little crazy around the Guerra household right now.
Right. I need to get that done to my apartment in New York. I need to do some repairs and some stuff, but we'll see about that. All right. We got a great show. We're going to talk with Mike Keller from Milwaukee, 97.3 The Game. He has a show, Heller and Davis. We'll get more on the Packers and Aaron Rodgers in that scenario. Also, Eddie House, our buddy, of course, the NBA champ and Fox Sports Radio NBA analyst. We'll talk to him in hour number two. And Adam Kaplan, the Fox Sports Radio NFL insider. He's coming up in hour number three. But first, let's welcome in the Odd Couple crew, because we wouldn't be able to do this fine radio program without them. Alex is our engineer as usual. Alex, how are you today? Good.
Rob, you know, there's one thing I love about you, and it's that you don't have to label me as somebody that's a certain type of diet. You just love me for me, Rob. Thank you.
That's it. I don't have to throw that out there. Alex is the engineer. That's all.
The able-bodied engineer. No, Alex Dyson.
That's right. And Ralph Irvin, right? Is that who I heard doing the update? Yes. Ralph will keep us updated throughout the program. So we can expect those updates from Ralph. Let's get kicking and get started, Rob G. The Packers. So obviously, I mean, they're 7-2. Remember, they ran off 7 wins in a row after the stinker in the opener when the Saints had to play down. Where'd they play? In Jacksonville? It was in Florida.
Yeah, it was the neutral side game in Jacksonville.
And I don't know. The Packers just didn't show up. I mean, you remember. It was awful. Aaron Rodgers had 2 picks and no touchdowns. It was bench for Jordan Love.
One of them in the red zone, which he hadn't done like in 5 years before.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, yeah, you know, he doesn't turn the ball over. Am I right?
Like, no.
You can say a lot of things about him. He seldom, every once in a while, you know, will have a pick or two, and that'll be about it. But most of the time, he's pretty clean and doesn't do that. And you were right. Last year, they had the best red zone offense in like 20 years in the NBA.
Crazy.
As far as red zone efficiency.
Right.
Like crazy. But the big story isn't just Aaron Rodgers could be back, and it looks like he's going to play on Sunday against Seattle. But OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., cleared waivers. And for people who don't understand the language, the bad teams going from the worst team all the way to the first can pick him from off of waivers, but you got to pick up his contract or whatever is attached to him. So all the teams passed on him. They don't want to pick up that contract, right, Rob G? There's 2 years
and,
left.
And Cleveland put a lot of provisions when they released him that said, you know, if you pick him up, you got a per-game bonus, you got this bonus. And they're like, well, not only is it a huge cap number, but I also got to pay this guy, you know, double whatever his normal salary would be because of all these bonuses they put in there.
Exactly. So no one was going to touch that contract. But now he's a free agent. Now that he cleared waivers, he can pick and choose. He's going to get paid already from the Browns, and then teams can offer him money on top of it. So there's three teams out there that have emerged, right? It's the Kansas City Chiefs, the Saints, he's from Louisiana, and the Packers. There was some talk about Seattle, Rob G. I think that's cooled down, right?
Yeah. So far, latest reports coming out of ESPN on Wednesday was that it had been narrowed down to those three teams. And we also heard a little bit about the Patriots trying to get involved, but I just don't see that happening either.
Yeah, and he wants to play for a team that has a shot to win. It's been some bad road for him between the Giants and the, you know, bad Eli Manning years at the end.
Yeah, one playoff game in his career.
Yeah, see, so he wants to be in the playoffs. He wants to be on the big stage. But the Packers reportedly have made an offer, and they offered him the veterans minimum to play for the Packers. And right away, Rob G's panties got into a bunch because he's like, here we go, same old Packers. Why don't they go over the top? Why don't they just say, we want them and we're going to pay whatever and who cares? You know the Packers just don't operate that. And Rob G, I think it's because they don't have true ownership. I really do.
Right.
Because if there's one guy, do you know what I mean? I think the Packers would have been different the last... They're run, they're publicly held, and it's run by a chairman and a committee. So it ain't go get OBJ no matter what it costs us.
Right. This isn't Jerry Jones saying, I will not have it. I don't care what you have to do. Get me Deion Sanders.
Exactly.
Not that.
It's not that. So the Packers haven't been that way. I remember a few years ago, I was astonished. They had every player on their roster. Rob G, this is a fact, was drafted by the Packers except for one guy. Can you believe
that's
that?
Wild.
That's unbelievable.
In today's day and age of the NFL and free agency and people changing teams, that is crazy.
It was like 4 or 5 years ago. I can't remember the exact year, but I remember reading that and looking at the roster. They had drafted everybody except for one guy. And that's like the Packer way. You know, they've always been into that. Even though they haven't always gotten Aaron Rodgers' help. But anyway, here's help, but they don't make the big splash. So now OBJ is going to consider it. He hasn't snapped to a decision. He could have easily picked a team today and said, okay, I heard all the offers. Let's go. I'm ready to play. I'm ready to practice. I'm ready to get my uniform on. But it didn't happen. And let's hear from Davante Adams, the star Packer wide receiver who was all world last year and still playing well this year. And he's been on the Packers for a while, and he's not expecting a big box under the Christmas tree. Can I say that?
A couple weeks ago with the Gilmore stuff, you said you've learned not to get your hopes up over that stuff around here. Where is your hope level with the Odell stuff right now?
Yeah, I learned my lesson with that, but they're up pretty high. I'm not going to lie. Hopes are up. They're pretty high. Been talking to him a little bit, so we'll see what happens. But like I've said previously, I don't expect anything to happen. But if it does, that'd be great.
All right, Rob G, I'm gonna give you the floor.
You know what, Rob? You know, we got a few minutes. I don't even need all a few minutes to get my point across. Look, this is the same old Green Bay Packers. To your point, a couple years ago, they had an entire roster of homegrown players, and that does not work in today's NFL when guys.
What was that true? Was that a couple of years ago? Oh, you mean the years I was talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
you know, you can't have a situation where you're only banking on drafting and develop. That will get you so far, provided you got the right quarterback. And thankfully for them, for like 2.5 decades, they've had the right quarterbacks with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. But Green Bay coming into this season with the whole Aaron Rodgers fiasco and is he going to retire? Is he going to come back? Is he going to get traded? When he decided that he was going to return to Green Bay, the clock was ticking. It didn't help matters either that Davante Adams, who is led their team in every single receiving category for like five straight years now because they have nobody else opposite of him, he had his contract come up this offseason or to extend it, and they broke off talks because they couldn't agree to a deal. So when both of those guys, before the season started, put out on their Instagram, hey, this is the last dance. This is our going out party.
They were talking about Jordan's documentary. That's what they were talking about, watching it together. Right.
They got thoughts on Scottie Pippen, which we'll get to later.
Yes.
But both of those guys know, they see the writing on the wall. Look, in all likelihood, this is our last season together. Either one of us or both of us is going to be gone. So if you're Green Bay and you know that your best chance to win a Super Bowl probably – conservatively, what, the next 10 years? Because Jordan Love didn't look to be that guy, and I don't know if you can just replace Davante Adams if he leaves. Why would you not go all in? Why would you not say, you know what, we'll move things around, we'll convert this left tackle into a roster bonus so we can offer Odell, you know, $2 million instead of one, or $3 million instead of two, whatever the offer is. Whatever it takes to get him on your roster, because you know that this could be the last chance you have to make a Super Bowl run for the next 10 years.
All right. I mean, that's a fair argument, but I got one. A, I don't think that a receiver is a pressing need for the Green Bay Packers. I would take some more defensive players just to shore it up. I would do a lot of things. They run the ball well. You want some offensive linemen help. I don't know. Like, I don't think wide receiver. They got a nice crew. Would you admit that? I'm not saying it's
wouldn't be better
with OBJ.
I think they got Davante Adams, who is the best receiver in football.
Look, Lazar is pretty good, and Scantling is a good player as well. I mean, I know they're not. It's not the best trio.
It's an understatement.
Right, but I don't think it's a bad trio, and when you have a great quarterback, here's the other part. How much does he want to come in and win and stop playing for also-ran quarterbacks? What does it mean to OBJ to go to a storied franchise to play with an all-world, the best quarterback I've ever seen, skill set?
Agreed.
I'm not talking about... Right? I'm not talking about accomplishment. Right, Rob G?
Totally.
Seriously, skill set.
I've never seen anyone play the position better than him.
Nobody. And people could pick all the other guys, John Elway and Dan Marino, all that other stuff. No, Aaron Rodgers has touch. He has a strong arm. He can run for a first down. His accuracy, he has the best touchdown to interception ratio in the history of the NFL.
Best quarterback rating in the history of the NFL.
Yes. What doesn't he have? Okay, so skill set wise. So if you're Odell and you want to reestablish yourself in the league and make a name for yourself, can you imagine him going to Green Bay and making a big play or getting a couple of big touchdowns from Aaron Rodgers and being maybe a difference maker? And people going, OBJ went to Green Bay. The Packers have been to the NFC Championship game 2 years in a row. Couldn't get over the hump. They got OBJ, and guess what? They're in the Super Bowl. Would that be worth it rather than waiting around for another $1 million or whatever for your ego? I think that the Packers broke ranks from what they normally do, Rob G, by even offering them a contract.
Yeah, no
right?
Kidding.
Could you admit that?
That is true.
They don't normally, they'd be like, no, we're good.
No, we're sitting this one out. You know,
yes.
It's midway through the season. We like our room. We're not going to jeopardize that.
For the Packers to even offer him a deal says a lot. He comes with a lot of baggage. So that's where I'm at. I think it was great that they made an offer. And I think if OBJ is smart and looks at the situations that, you know, are there, Kansas City's struggling right now. With Mahomes and...
New Orleans doesn't have a quarterback.
New Orleans doesn't have a quarterback, so New Orleans should be out unless you just want to go home and wear that uniform. The only place to me is the best is you finally get to work with the best quarterback in the league and then having Davante Adams on the other side. Who are you leaving open, Rob G?
I'll tell you what, I'm double-teaming both of them and saying I'm daring you to run the ball.
Okay, well, there you go.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
But you know, Rob, we are smack dab in the middle of football season. The first ever 17-game season, to be exact.
It just doesn't feel right. It feels like it's stretched out. I know it's only one game, but doesn't it feel like... I don't know.
I mean, I'm not going to complain because I love watching it, but I understand.
No, I know, but I'm just saying it just feels a little different. It just does.
It really does. It really does.
And Doesn't it?
And you know, even though I'm on board with it because I like to watch football, I'm sure you might be on board with it to an extent because you like to watch football.
No,
a lot of guys.
I told you before, when I was in high school, I wouldn't work at the mall on Sundays during football season. Nobody. How many kids at 16, 17 years old going to stand up to their boss and say, I'm not working on Sundays?
Someone is about to get fired.
Right.
Did you get fired?
No.
What?
They went along with it.
That's poor management.
You're fired.
It was stride right. Nichols foot form. Shelly Zimmerman. Thank you, Shelly. He knew that I wanted to be a sports writer, and he let me go watch football on Sunday.
I bet you he takes credit for your career. I'm willing to bet.
He take a little bit. No doubt.
He's like, look, Rob would not be where he is today if I didn't give
him
Sundays off.
If I didn't let him do right. Exactly.
All right. So one person, though, who really, really, really hates the 17-game season is Tom Brady. Tom does his weekly podcast for Westwood One. It's called the Let's Go podcast. And he was asked a lot of questions.
Money grab. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, look, I ain't going to complain. I wish I could someone pay me to talk football. You know, that'd be great. But anyways, they asked him about Aaron Rodgers. I'm not going to get into that. Someone asked him about the 17-game season. He had a lot to say about the 17-game season, including why he blames his fellow NFLPA brethren for this extended season. Take a listen.
The owners haven't had to listen to the players because usually what the owners want, the owners get. We need strong union leadership from the player standpoint and a unified union in order to have the right amount of leverage to negotiate what we think is appropriate for an NFL player. And we've essentially agreed to play under their circumstances.
Rob, I totally agree with everything that Tom Brady said in that statement.
What he said is true.
However.
Yes.
He is the last person to be making that kind of a statement. Lest we forget that for 20 years in New England, Tom Brady was continuously undermining the NFLPA when he kept taking less than market value to remain the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. There is a reason why the NFLPA is the worst union in all of American professional sports. Because guys like Tom Brady, guys like Patrick Mahomes, who have all the leverage in the world at their time. Tom Brady was winning Super Bowls. You were arguing between him and Peyton Manning, who's the best quarterback in football. He's like, you know what? I'm gonna take a few million off. I'm gonna take a few million off here. I'm gonna give you a little bit of a discount so we can not get us a new receiver because they never actually used that money that he kept giving back. Because Patrick Mahomes, when he was up for his salary cap extension, rather than becoming only the second player ever to get a fully guaranteed contract, which he totally could have because he was coming off an MVP in a Super Bowl.
No, and the youngest player. I mean, exactly. Are you kidding? He had all the leverage.
I don't know if anybody's ever had more leverage in their career than Patrick Mahomes did at that time. And he locked himself into a 10-year deal, essentially bypassing free agency for his entire career.
And all the outs given to the Kansas City Chiefs, not him.
Exactly.
It is one of the worst contracts ever, plain and simple. It just is, and that's not from me alone. That's from other agents. And Rob G., I think you're spot on. Tom Brady has undermined the system and the union. When you take less than your value, you put the other players in a bad spot. If Tom Brady's doing this to help win, don't you want to win like Tom Brady? Look, he took less money. He's not trying to get all the money. He wants to get other players. And you know what they did in New England? How many times, Rob G., did they not pay their players when the time came and let them bounce?
Every year.
Time and time again, right?
Every year.
That's what they did. And you can't do that and then talk about the union being weak or whatnot. Remember, and the NFL Players Association compared to Major League Baseball's union, you know, it's like night and day. Can we, right? Like a 100.
Strongest union in sports is baseball.
Not even close. And you remember when Alex Rodriguez was going to go to the Red Sox and the Red Sox wanted him to take a bit of a pay cut? The union said, no way, no how. You signed for that $325 million and you're going to get every single nickel. There's no way the Red Sox is getting some discount. It's not happening. Because once he did that, right, for the Red Sox, owners would have been asking for everybody to do it. So my point is, Tom Brady should have always been asking for his market value. And people are always like, how much money is enough? I don't understand it. What does it matter if he makes $20 million or $18 million? Do you see owners giving discounts to fans? Is there,
Never. Do they ever
they
say,
keep
you know
making
what?
More money. Do the Coke prices go down? Yeah. Do the beer prices go down because they had a good year?
Never. They never say, you know what, we could turn a profit on a $6 beer, so let's just leave it at that. No, we're going to charge them $14.
Right. No, we want to make 300% on the beer. 100% like most stores, that's not good enough. We want 300%. And I don't get, like, Tom Brady now bellyaching now that he's in year 30 or whatever. Now he's bellyaching. Tom, when you were winning all those Super Bowls with New England, you had a voice. You had a platform. You could have gone out and stuck up and talked about get your worth. Get your worth. All the NFL owners do, Rob G, is brag about how much money they print, don't they?
Yes, sir.
You got a commissioner making like a gazillion dollars. What was his contract? He's made like $140 million or something the last 2 years?
Still underpaid, Rob, but that's a different conversation.
All right, but somehow the players, they still signed a labor contract, collective bargaining agreement, where owners, if they don't like the deal that you're in because you haven't performed, Rob G, guess what they can do? Ask you to come back at a pay cut. But if you exceed your contract, can you opt out and get a bigger deal?
Nope.
Who would sign a deal like that? It makes no sense. Or a franchise tag that robs you of your free agency and a chance to move on and go to the highest bidder. Who would sign a deal like that? It's so one-sided. And this is how bad the players' union is. For the CTE, I don't know if you remember this, Rob G. They came to an agreement with the NFL. They took it to a judge, right? The arbitrator. The arbitrator said, no, I'm not signing this. There's not enough money for the players. This is no good. What arbitrator interferes in an agreement that was agreed on both sides? Have you ever heard anything like that?
Never.
Why would you? You agreed. Okay. I'm the arbitrator. I sign it. You both agree. They looked at the con. Can't remember if it was a guy or a girl. Looked at it and said, this is not sufficient enough. Bring it back to me when the NFL funds this with more money. That's how pathetic. But there's Tom Brady. You didn't help the cause, Mr. Tom Brady. You hurt your brethren by not taking your full value. That ain't your business if the Patriots can't balance the budget or put it together. That's not for you. You're not a front office person. Why should you be worried about that? Give me my value. He's never been the highest paid quarterback.
Nope.
How could a guy who's won six at that six, he got seven now, but during his sixth Super Bowl, he was never the highest paid quarterback. Does that make any sense?
Right. And you know, this argument that people kept throwing out there was, well, he's taking less money to help the team to get more talent. Rob, the Boston Globe reported last season when Bill Belichick said something about, well, you know, we always spend a lot, you know, for Tom Brady, try to get a Super Bowl team. When the actual numbers, the hard numbers showed that they were spending below the league average in almost every one of the Super Bowl years.
No doubt about it. And Tom Brady was always crying, right? Always, whoa, look at what he's got. They didn't go out and get him, spend the money. Like, he's giving up money with this whole idea.
For nothing.
And they never got anything in return. And then The star players, they never sign.
Right.
They let them walk.
So that's why I get so agitated, and you do too, with his comments about the NFLPA and them being weak is why they got the 70-game season. They're weak because of guys like you, Tom Brady. They're weak right now, and they're the laughingstock of American professional sports because guys like you who had the muscle, who had all the leverage in the world in New England.
Everybody doesn't have it. Those guys just trying to make the 53-man roster, they can't say anything. I get that. They should stay in the background.
Because guys like you, Tom Brady, who had the leverage, who had the opportunity to make it better for the guys coming after you, chose not to flex their muscle.
Definitely. And you brought it up earlier. Patrick Mahomes was ready. He should have said, up to the Chiefs, I'm going to give you 48 hours. I want a four-year, fully guaranteed contract, $50 million a year. What you going to do? If you don't, I'm not signing it, and I'm out of here. You don't think they would have signed him?
They would have given him whatever he wanted.
Instead, he gave some team-friendly deal.
He had so much power where he could have got a fully guaranteed contract and then said something like, you know what? I'm not a real big fan of Mecole Hardman. So I'd like him to not be on the team next season. Yep. I promise you, Mecole Hardman will be in a different uniform if Patrick Mahomes really felt that way.
They gave a fully guaranteed contract to Kirk Cousins, who hadn't won jack.
Exactly.
And Patrick Mahomes, when he signed that $500 million contract, Rob G, I might be off a couple million. But you know what was fully guaranteed at the time that he signed it? 68 million of the $500 million.
Terrible.
68.
Rob, you pointed it out earlier. At the time, I mean, remember The Athletic had that big article from all these player agents where they talked about that deal. And to a man, they called it the worst contract they'd ever seen.
It was terrible.
I mean, I got some quotes here.
Go ahead.
Deal was horrendous for all players moving forward. Here's the other one. He had no one had greater leverage than Mahomes. His agents missed a big opportunity to change the game. It's a big miss. Another one. I don't understand why an agent would do a deal for that long. Flies in the face of everything we're looking for.
Absolutely. It just doesn't make any sense. And if he wanted to stay his whole career there, that's fine. Sign a second contract and a third contract. Do you know, like, you don't have to sign a long-term contract where you can't. And then there are no escape clauses for him. Just Kansas City, in case he goes south or he gets hurt, they can get out of it. But he can't.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's just disappointing, and it makes it worse. It's one thing to do the act, and you got to live with it, whatever. It's something else to try to, you know, disrespect this whole other group of people when the only reason that, or one of the reasons why they're in that position to begin with is because of you. And you're throwing them under the bus like you had nothing to do with it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm George Reister, host of the Reister or Wrong podcast. This is the intersection where sports, business, society, and pop culture meet the truth. Absolute fire on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Facts only. Make sure you check your feelings at the door because no BS is allowed. We keep it 100. This is where real conversations happen. Listen to the Right or Wrong podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rob G, let's kick it off here with Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen, one of the 50 greatest players of all time, won those six championships with Michael Jordan. A great player in his own right. Everybody acknowledges him. But I feel bad. Like, guys, like, don't destroy everything. Don't make people look at you sideways. That's where we are with Scottie Pippen. It's like the Kwame Brown kind of thing, you know, where he just got fed up, so he's going to attack everybody. And this onslaught on Michael Jordan, I don't know what happened, what Michael did to him. Was he jealous because Mike...
Oh, you know what he did to him, Rob. We saw The Last Dance. We know exactly what he did to him.
But it was it not true?
I mean, it's one man's perspective, and Scotty took a lot of negativity from that documentary.
We saw the video. He didn't want to go into the game with Kukoc, right? That was there. Everybody tried to talk him out of signing that contract. He did it anyway. I mean, there were moments there with Scotty. And here's my only argument, and then you'll tell us what Scotty said now, and we'll hear some sound from Scotty Pippen. But Nobody stopped him, Rob G, from winning a finals MVP, okay? Steph Curry's on the Warriors. How many has he won?
Zero.
Okay. So Michael Jordan went to six finals, won all six, and won all six MVPs. Was there a rule that Michael Jordan had to win the MVP?
No.
Okay, so Scottie could have won if he played better, right?
Yes.
Or had more impact.
Yes.
Okay. So I don't understand that. Also, he's got his panties in a bunch because Mike got paid for The Last Dance. Well, it's a TV show. Guess what? They ESPN pays for shows, right, Rob G? They play commercials during it.
Yep.
Right? I mean, that's the business model. I don't think, is anybody shocked that Michael Jordan got paid for that? If Scottie Pippen was worried about it back then, why did he do it? He could have said, what am I getting for my time and my energy? And if they said, well, we're not paying anybody for doing interviews, he could have said, thank you very much, but I'm not going to participate. Correct or not?
He totally could have. You're right.
Okay. So to cry about it and bellyache about it 2 years later is just doesn't make any sense to me. Because you understand how television and the business works. You worked at ESPN. Were you on for free or did they pay you? Yeah. Come on, Rob. Do you know I'm right on that?
No, you're right on that. In that aspect, you're definitely right.
All right, what's the latest? Let's hear from.
Well, you know, you mentioned that Scottie Pippen is upset at Michael Jordan because of The Last Dance, and you know he's trying to promote a book, so maybe he's taking things a little bit further than even he normally would. But over the last, well, we'll say 2 months, I think Scottie Pippen is going above and beyond to express how upset he is with Michael Jordan over what he did in The Last Dance and the way he portrayed himself and the other members of the Bulls.
Do you feel that not enough was made of that moment? Because there you were playing hurt in a deciding game against a great Utah Jazz team.
Here's my breakdown on that. Is it easier to play with a herniated disc or to play with the flu? Well, I don't see many bad back games, but I do see flu games.
That was Scottie Pippen on Sirius XM NBA Radio discrediting Michael Jordan's famous flu game. Because he himself, he says, was dealing with a herniated disc. And this goes back to his larger point, I think, that he's been trying to make ever since The Last Dance ended, is that Scottie Pippen believes that Michael Jordan went out of his way to build up his own legend in The Last Dance and went out of his way to almost discredit everybody else that was on those teams.
Oh, so, I don't think so.
Well, it's Scottie Pippen's opinion. This is just his opinion, I think. What I think he's trying to say is
why did they have a section about Steve Kerr, a segment on Steve Kerr? If it was about Steve Kerr made a basket, they didn't have to show that. But was that the defining moment? Or were they trying to make a point on a different play? Like, seriously, he made a basket in a big game, right?
Yes.
That's all he did.
Right.
Did they have would the story about the Bulls be incomplete if they didn't show to Steve Kerr and do a segment about Steve Kerr?
Yes.
No,
it
wouldn't.
I think it would have.
They could have showed it, but they didn't have to do a segment on Steve Kerr.
To interview Steve Kerr and talk about it. Yeah, I guess you could say that. But I think what Scottie has been alluding to, you know, over the last, what is this now, a year that he's been upset about it, is that in The Last Dance, and this is what I think, and I'll get your opinion about it afterwards, is that Michael Jordan made a point in that, it's not a documentary, it's more like a docuseries because it's only one person's perspective on the whole thing.
Right.
Is look at everything that Michael Jordan did. Look at everything he had to overcome. Look at all the challenges that he took
on. It was about Michael Jordan.
Exactly. It was not about the Bulls. It was about Michael Jordan. And in order to do that, some guys who think they deserve more credit or think that they deserve a bigger, you know, share of the pie, and so to speak, they kind of get pushed aside because this is not their story. This is Michael Jordan's story. And I think that's why Scottie Pippen is so upset, because he thinks that he was, in his eyes, was right there with Michael during that whole run.
I get that. But, you know, it's like, it's like musical groups. It's Diana Ross and the Supremes. Mm-hmm. It's Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're right. Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5.
Yes, there's always a front man. Somebody's going, Lionel Richie and the Commodores. No?
No, you're right.
Somebody's got to be out front. Nobody just all of a sudden just decides, oh, we're going to only call them by their name and everybody's the same. No, that's just not it. And Michael had all the other stuff, the sneakers and the memorable games and the big moments and the shot in Cleveland. And I'm just still, help me out. Give me the Scottie Pippen moment that was missed. Which basket was it, Rob G? Help me out. I covered the Bulls during that time. I remember Scottie Pippen at the Palace of Auburn Hills with an ice pack on his head when he had a migraine headache. I remember that. You know what I thought back then? How will he ever overcome that? That's what I thought at the time. Like in a game 7, you can't play or you can't play well because you got a migraine headache. So if there's a moment where Scottie made the big shot against Cleveland, like right to win the series, then it would be different. He never made those. I'm not saying he wasn't important, but you can't give me any moments. What was left out? What was on the cutting room floor that discredited Scottie Pippen or left out in highlight that was paramount to what the Bulls did? I don't know of one.
See, that's fair, you know, because I don't think he didn't have those kind of moments. But to say that he was just along for the ride, which is
what, I didn't say that.
I know you didn't say that.
Okay.
But The Last Dance, you know, Rob, the way that it was shown, that other than what the Paxson shot and the Kerr shot, we were led to believe that Michael Jordan did everything by himself in that Last Dance.
I get that.
It was,
I mean,
look, Michael Jordan overcame the cocaine circus. He overcame Scottie Pippen's migraines and his back injury. He overcame, you know, being the celebrity and having everything pulling at him, but he was able to fight through it. And he's the one who got past the Bad Boy Pistons. And he's the one who went, you know, 6-for-6 in the finals.
No, I get it.
What about other guys?
We do it all the time, you know, and it's, football is worse with Tom Brady, like,
yes.
Right? The defense plays well, and
Tom Brady gets
all the credit.
Tom Brady's right up there with Michael Jordan in terms
but
of...
But I think the difference, though, is in the NBA, all you need is two players. In the NFL, you got to have a defense, right? Ask Aaron Rodgers, whose defense is giving up 40 points.
Right.
Like, that's what kills me now, is like everybody's now pointing to Patrick Mahomes saying, oh, well, with the defense, well, he's got to try to make something happen. It's hard to win when you don't... In that, when Aaron Rodgers says that, what do they say? Oh, you're making excuses.
Yeah, exactly.
Am I right?
No, you're right. They were
giving up
30-plus points a game in the NFC Championship games historically, I think,
yes,
before last season.
And I think in 5 of his postseason losses, they've given up 38 points or more.
Yeah, you're not going to win very often like that. But it's just...
Well, do we have sound from Scottie?
Well, we already played the Scottie Pippen sound. Oh. That was with him talking to Frank Isola.
To Frank Isola on the NBA.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's
so,
right.
But I sympathize with Scottie because I think that guys like... The Odd Couple, Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. There's this hagiography with Michael Jordan that I think has kind of run amok, you know, because most of the people who are in sports media today, the most prominent voices and faces like you guys are, you know, there's a very revisionist history with Michael Jordan. There's no, you know, let's be honest, like you are with Tom Brady. Like, look, Tom Brady is great. I'm not saying he's not great, but let's be honest and say, hey, you know what? He also had a top 5 defense every one of those years. You can say Michael Jordan is great. He's probably the greatest player who ever lived. But let's be honest, he didn't win anything until Scottie Pippen got there. He also had a very good front office. You know, they didn't like him. They found a way to get players around him that fit what he did well. And I think that this idea that Michael Jordan did everything by himself and it was just Michael Jordan and the Jordanaires, I just don't think that's true.
I get it, but I think Scottie's going about it the wrong way. Because you can't tear down Michael Jordan in order to try to make yourself look better.
Yeah, there's definitely a better way to do it. Because I mean,
would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that. And
that's
it's not like he can't make a case for himself. Like, look, I brought it up. You know, they didn't win a playoff series before he got there. You know,
right.
when Jordan retired the first time, he was 3rd in the MVP running. So he can make a good case for himself you're right, without having to attack Michael Jordan.
Right. And I think that's where he loses some credibility and some points with people, because basically he's trying to say, look at me, I'm the reason, and I don't think people are going to say that. But he can make his own, make your own documentary. Tell your own story. Show how you never won a finals MVP. Oh, I'm sorry.
Are you talking about Steph Curry or Scottie Pippen? I'm not sure.
Well, Steph can make one too, both of them. You know? Called I Never Hit a Big Shot. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
did I say that?
No. You know, he had 50-10, Rob Parker, the other night.
Yeah, and it was a regular season game.
And you know what's funny is after that game, people started pumping up Steph Curry again like they always do.
Right.
And somebody put on Twitter that they did a poll on some NBA website, who's the most clutch players of the last 20 years, and Steph Curry came in eighth. I was like, when? How?
How was he eighth?
I have no idea.
Right. It doesn't make any sense.